여러분들이 그랬더라고. 어? 그래 그런 분이 그 이론은 좋지만은 좀 뭐 통일 거야. 에듀케이션 좋지. 그 생각할 때 지금까지 뭐 성자들 수많은 뭐 교직자들 수많은 사람들이 이걸 하나만 잡힌 거는 다 쓰는데 이제 와가지고 이렇게 머리가 조금 돌지 않아서 생각하는.
You know, when I talk about unification, particularly our church name, the Unification Church, when people hear this word, this big word in a way, they shake head like this. Well, Reverend Moon has a very good idea, but it's too idealistic. I don't think that philosophy will ever work. How can that be possible, the total unselfish world in this society? It's impossible. You know, I'm rather very sorry for Reverend Moon, because I know it'll never work.
하나님이 위해서 계시면서 세계를 수습하는 것과 마찬가지죠. 보다 그 교단 그 교인 무단도 교단 책임도 보다 돌려갈 수 있는 길만 지나가는.
However, to those critics, my answer is very simple. I, Reverend Moon, is not going to do that. God is going to do that. Matter of fact, God created the world in harmony and in unity. That is there. All our job is to restore it. Make God in a real, in an individual heart. So that all we, together, practice His way of life. Let Him come into you in your heart. Be, allow yourself to be His instrument, tool. Then that idea is automatic one.
악한 사람, 그 반대는 악한 것은, 악한 것은 나를 위해. 독재라도 나를 위해, 나를 위해. 악이 개인도 나를 위해, 나라도 나를 위해, 세계도 나를 위해, 하나님도 나를 위해.
What is? What is the evil world? What is evil doers? That basically is the origin of the unselfishness bring the evil. Those who are trying to subjugate others for your own benefit, for one's own benefit. In a society, they're benefiting, trying to benefit, they buy others, and subjugating others. One nation subjugating other nation, as the dictator, for example, and bring all the nations under your the dominion for the, your own selfish purpose. That is evil.
있어야 된다는 줄 알아요.
Yes, I came to America to serve. I love America. And just like I love my own country. Because this is Father's country and I love him as Father.
Thank you. 만일에 이 일이 이 일이 성사하지 못, 이 일을 실천하지 못하면 꺼려버리면 그 논리를 공물다.
If I fail to really succeed in proclamation of the way of life of God through our movement, then, of course, all my philosophy was in vain.
이름은 하나님 보다 위하기 때문에 하나님의 주인되어 있다는 말이에요.
Yes, America is important. Simply because God loves America. Simply because God relying upon this great country. Therefore, this is important to God, important to all of us, important to me.
여러분, 미국 국민의 사상은 One Nation Under God이라는 그런 주류 사상을 갖고 있는 사람입니다.
From the beginning, America has been pursuing the great goal and a principle that one nation under God.
무엇이 자기 나라를 위한 one nation이냐? 세계를 위한 one nation. 이것이 문제.
That one nation under God must not be selfish one. That one nation under God must be self-giving one. Must be sacrificial one. Truly giving themselves in love for the benefit of the entire world and mankind.
만약에 미국이 그와 같은 사도로 이와 같은 주류를 받아가지고
by America taking, demonstrating this true way of life of God and leading the world into the ultimate goal of the fulfillment of His kingdom, indeed, America shall become champion in the kingdom of God.
그런 입장에서 하나님이 원하는 것은 이 미국이 대국이니만큼 미국 사람을 세계를 위해서 만들 수 있는 길이기 때문에 그것이 최고의 소원인 줄 알기 때문에 레브랜드는 미국 3년 전부터 1903년 전부터 1972년부터 74년까지 다 미국을 위해 기다렸습니다.
What is America? America is a people. American people. American people change. American people move. Everything moves. And therefore, I come to America to speak to American people. In 1972, I have the revelation from God to go to America to speak to American people. And I installed a Day of Hope in 1972. And for 3 years, I'm now obeying His commandment.
미국이 개인주의화하다는 것은
The America is commonly known as the country of individualism.
예수의 사상이 개인주의 아니야. 하나님의 사상이 개인주의 아니야.
But however, God's philosophy is not individualism, and Christ's philosophy was not individualism.
이것 때문에 사정이 깨져. 이것 때문에 사회가 상하가.
Important.
미국 사람 여러분이 그거
And yes, when individualism centered upon himself, it'll bring a lot of trouble. And that trouble is showing here in America. There are many breaking points. There are many divisions. American homes in trouble. American people and young people are particularly in trouble.
그 누군가가 하나님 뜻을 대신해서 하이드 같은 이런 동양에 있는 난데없는 외부를 문화해서 이 뉴욕에 소리만
And God needs someone to wake Americans up. You know, God works very strange way. Why does he need me? I do not know. But the important thing is he called me to kindle the fire of spiritual revolution and the true heart, the revolution of love here in America.
여러분하고 나하고 누가 더 미국을 위할 수 있냐면 미국을 소유한 사람
Yes, tonight I'd like to announce one important competition between you and I. Let's love America. I want to compete with all of you in a good reason. Let's love America and bring this country closer to God.
여러분의 건국 사상은 기독 사상을 통해 하나님을 위하였으나 하나님이 이런 사상을 가졌는데 그런 사상을 갖지 못했으면 이런 사상을 가지고 세계를 치러서 말하는데 그 사상으로 치러서
The America is truly one great Christian nation upon the face of the earth. Furthermore, America founded on Christian spirit. However, in recent days, in recent history, America is becoming away from God, step by step, further and further every day. Somebody must turn the tide around. Somebody come to this America as a firefighter.
여러분이 소문을 들어서 아시겠지만은 여기 와서 1년 지금 10개월째 되는 이 짧은 기간에 미국 스케줄을 난 탐구하면서 미국 국민을 위해 외치는가 내가 남이역을 위해 미국을 위해 가지고 난 나타나서 반대 내가 뭐야 내가 내 몸을 돈도 있고 내 돈을 가져오는 사람이야 뭐 다
You know, last 11 months I've been going all 50 states of America truly visited every corner of this country I really cried out for God, not for my glory, not for my purpose. And everywhere I go, I did not get too much kind treatment. You saw the one example tonight. Everywhere I was mistreated, and many people shouted at me and threw the things at me. Yet, I do not concern those things. I concern the ideal of God, whether I'm here for God or for myself. I didn't come for money for America. I didn't for any other purpose here in America. I want to give myself to America for the eternal well-being of this great country.
Thank you.
I have a real serious reason to really cry out to you tonight. I hope you truly understand.
요즘은 여러분들은 뉴욕의 중심입니다.
You all, the very important and distinguished citizens of here in the city of New York.
여러분이 이런 사상을 가지고 움직이시려면 꼭 뉴욕을 움직이고 뉴욕을 움직이면 미국을 움직이고 미국을 움직이면 세계를 움직이고 세계를 움직이려면 하나님의 나라를 이루시는 것이다. 이렇게 생각하기 때문에 이런 심각한 얘기죠.
New York is really heartbeat of America. The center of America. And I value New York to a very great deal. And I launched my crusade here in New York because if I succeed in kindling the heart of men for God here in New York, I will succeed everywhere. New York for America, America for the world, and the world for God. This is my goal. I will not stop.
여러분들 지금 레브랜드 노예 지금
And I know the last several weeks there are so many posters outside and it's become sort of a controversial and many criticism. I know those words is the back and forth.
세상의 선거를 위해서 돈을 쓰고 선전하려면 하나님을 위해서 돈이 상하는 것을 반대하겠습니다.
Well, I reason this way. There are so many candidates for the office running for governors, senators, and congressmen. They spent it for the earthly purpose, I mean for the purpose of the nation. They can spend much money to put on the much poster. I did not come here for any dose glory. I come to proclaim the kingdom of God here on earth. I want to do more than they do.
그렇지만 여러분 이제 9월 18일에는 이 뉴욕 사람 앞에 전부 다 기억되고 레브랜드를 모르는 사람 없어. 너 알았으면 누가 뭐 진리를 찾고 첨대만 가보여. 말이야. 알아봤다는 사람 알아봐. 몰라서 같은 사람 어떻게 파이러 갔다고 생각해.
Simply I came to America in obedience to God. I want to have every New York citizen know my coming. So that they will have no excuse. I have no excuse to God.
여기 여러분 아이들도 레브랜드 보내면 알아요?
May I ask, your children at home knows about Reverend Moon? Heard about me?
이른다. 그렇지만 18일 끝나면
But I do something very unusual for New York. Probably, you'll see. After September 18, which is after tomorrow, after Madison Square Garden, there will be no single poster of Reverend Moon will remain in the city of New York.
때가 되면
Because that poster served the purpose, asking people to come to hear the declaration of the kingdom of heaven. Then, since that was serving the purpose, I will take every single post off myself and my people.
밤이나 낮이나, thank you. 밤이나 낮이나, 그래 자나깨나. 인류를 위하고 인류역을 위하고 하는 그 사람들이 원수가 아닙니다. 여러분, 귀한 손님 중에 손님이요. 여러분이 맞이하고 친구 중에 친구들 중 그렇게 하시고 여러분들 근무에 남은 내일 사대에서 만나더라도 악수라도 한번
I came to New York, your great city, as a friend of New York. I regard and respect and admire you Am as our dear brothers and sisters under God. So we must be close. If I meet at the street, I want you to come and I will come to you to shake hands. Surely as two brothers meet in the street and the family of God meet. My dream and my ideal is to install one great movement of God, not institution, not organization. What is a movement all about? Unification you're here for, to bring down the kingdom of heaven on earth. And I want to start that kingdom of heaven here in New York, in a great city of America.
Thank you. 내기를 바라는 것이 하나님의 뜻인 줄 알기 때문에 내가 여러분을 처음 나타나고 사랑합니다.
You know, I truly have my deepest admiration and I also want to express my genuine love for each one of you because in God we are one. Tonight we are marking a new beginning or we are meeting the new challenge that let us all participate. Allow God to come into our hearts. So let him run us and I let him run New York, run America, toward the erection of the kingdom of God. I want all of you to embrace God as I embrace my humble brothers beside me. And I would like you to join with me to truly declaration of the beautiful message that God loves you and He is with us. So my final word is that may God bless each one of you, your home, your work. Let God love America, above all, also the great city of New York.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'd like to remind you that the Korean Folk Ballet and the New Hope Singers will be giving their finale. But at this point in the program, I have the great pleasure of introducing someone who I'm sure is very well known to each one of you. I asked her during dinner how she would like to be introduced. There are so many things I could say. She's well known as an author, having written many books. She's well known for the tremendous psychic gift which God has given her, the ability to see into the future, the ability to learn and understand more about the past. But these are not the things that the person I'm about to introduce would like to be most spoken about. She has experienced, through the gift that God has given her, such a tremendous awareness of the light that comes into your life from the presence of God, that she's devoted the use of this gift toward children. Through the establishment of the Children to Children Foundation, all of the fees that she earns from speaking engagements, from her tours, from her books, from all the sources of her income, she devotes to the work of that foundation, to prenatal research, so that children might be born in a healthy body, so that the Holy Spirit might be able to work through them and have a healthy, happy dwelling place to express God's love and His ideal. Would you join with me in giving a very warm welcome to our guest here this evening, the very well-known Mrs. Jean Dixon.
Thank you, Neil. I just found out that he is from my hometown, Washington, D.C., and he's the father of a new little baby, 3 months old, and she was born in Georgetown University Hospital, where one of my board of directors of Children's Children is a professor of pediatrics, Dr. Philip Calcagno, and he's president of the International Seminar that's coming to Washington, D.C., the 29th of this month, bringing all the great doctors of the world, including Russia, Romania, Slovakia, and all their ambassadors, to bring their notes and see what we can do so that we will have better prenatal research so that we will not have so many defective children born. Good evening, and we are here in the beautiful Waldorf Astoria. Beautiful people from all over the world. Thank you for coming. And how nice to have some people here as far away as Korea, Japan, Mexico, Germany, and so many fellow Americans. And thank you for inviting us, and praises to our honored guest, the Honorable Sun Myung Moon. You know, I worked a long time on that middle name of yours, and I still cannot pronounce it correctly, but I agree with you that America is truly great, and America was conceived one under God, and I believe she has proved her deeds, her unselfishness, to the world at large. And I think America wants to keep doing just that. And I want to thank you for inviting so many of my friends here tonight. So I want to say good evening, honored and distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, and my many, many wonderful friends, and Dr. Reverend Moon. I want to thank you for inviting Mr. Lippman, the Honorable Alfred Lippman, who is representing the country of Mexico, and he just happens to be my treasurer and first vice president of Children to Children. I wondered, Mr. Lippman, if you would stand up, because you do so much for so many. And isn't it wonderful to have a free country like America, so people can get up and stand on the tables and voice their thoughts? And as Monsignor Scanlon said, the thoughts that are so deeply hidden at the very bottom of our hearts. And I must tell you just a little bit of something cute about Monsignor Scanlon. He talked to me a few moments. He had to leave. And he says, "You know, Jean, I've been very busy here lately." And I said, "Monsignor Scanlon, what keeps you so busy?" He says, "You know, Jean, regardless of what plateau we find ourselves on in life, there's always a superior." Well, I agreed with him. And he says, "You know, I have to keep a balanced monthly budget." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I had no trouble with my January, February, March, April, May, June, July budget, but August. August was causing me some trouble. But he says, finally, I managed. I gave my expense account in to my superior, and Jeannie was very much impressed when I handed him three sheets of paper with all the items neatly itemized until he came to the last item, marked ESP, $18.52. He said, "ESP, my dear Monsignor, have you been studying extrasensory perception with Jean Dixon?" He says, "No, Cardinal, I have not. That ESP is error someplace." And as we look around, we can readily see that all the world's a stage, and all the men and women, including each and every one of us, are merely players. We all have our entrances, our mission, our purposes, which are foreordained, and we all have our exits, which are not all foreordained. And one man in his time plays many, many parts. And to Washington, D.C., my hometown, come many, many men with a variety of talents, some great and some greater, making their entrances and also their exits. And recently we had quite a few exits and entrances, too. We just had a new congressman arrive by the name of Representative Keith Sebelius from Kansas City, Missouri. And I took this out of one of our two Washington newspapers. In fact, it was the Washington Post. And it said that Representative Keith Sebelius, a freshman from Kansas City, ruefully acknowledged that a newsletter he sent out, which literally said nothing, drew above average response. And due to an uncooperative mimeograph machine and apparent human failure in staff work, one of his regular newsletters to constituents went out in the form of blank sheets of paper. So one constituent wrote, "No news is good news. Keep it up." The best, however, Congressman Sebelius said, came from a woman who sent him a special delivery letter. And this is what she wrote. "Dear Congressman Sebelius, this was the only newsletter I've ever received from you that I really understood." And that is the way we do things in Washington, D.C., if you can understand us. And there are many things to be understood, and I hope we understand what the prophets of old meant when they told us this in Ecclesiastes 3:15. "That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and that which is to come, God requireth." And so, now the Watergate. But before I go into the Watergate, I want to explain to you the difference between a prophecy, a revelation, a forecast, and a prediction. A prophecy is the will of God, and the will of humanity cannot change the will of God. Of course, our human plans are not always in accord with God's plan. God alone is great enough to bring good at what appears to us to be tragic and evil at times, like the assassination of our young president, President Jack Kennedy. I was interviewed by Jack Anderson and Jack Anderson needs no introduction. And that was March the 11th, 1956. Drew Pearson was with him. And I explained to him about this prophecy that a young Democrat would be seated in 1960 but would be assassinated in his first term. He said, "Well, Gene, that's very brutal." I said, "No, God alone is great enough to bring good, Jack. Of what appears to us to be tragic and evil at times." And then 10 days before the assassination, I picked up man-made plans, a prediction. It could have been changed. So I went to Kay Halley. Kay Halley is a little lady who worked for 8 long years to get a bill through Congress so that Winston Churchill could be made an honorary citizen of the United States. I said, "Kay, you're such a close friend to our president. Won't you please go to the White House and intercede for me and try to get the president to change his plans?" And she promised she would go to the White House and intercede for me. That was the prophecy. The assassination of Martin Luther King and Senator Robert Kennedy were predictions. They were man-made plans and could have been changed. And I remember so well how desperately I tried to get in touch with the senator. In fact, Mr. Fahey, who was the author of Pacific War Diary, went to the senator not once but twice. He talked with Senator Edward Kennedy, with Joan Kennedy, with John Powers, with all the friends of the Kennedys, because he was a close, close friend. He begged them to see me, but I could not get an audience. And then May the 28th, 1968, I was behind the same podium where the senator claimed his victory at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, California. And that evening I was taking questions from the audience. So one little lady said, "Will Bobby win the election?" Because I was in Kennedy territory. And my reply was, "No, his timing is not right. Unless he cancels his candidacy, he will never be president of the United States, because I believe the program of his life in timing would be 1976. I was escorted from the program, from the podium by June Wright. I shall identify her, the mother-in-law of the Attorney General of the state of Florida. And as we walked past the corridor, she says, "Gene, is there some way of avoiding this, saving his life?" I says, "Indeed so. This is a prediction, not a prophecy." She said, "Well, I've been a friend of Mrs. Kennedy for 20 years. I said, "Call her and try." There are 3 telephone calls logged to Mrs. Rose Kennedy, May the 28th, 1968, and not one reply. So I do try to use my talent for the benefit of others on the upward spiral of human progress and the upward spiral of spiritual progress. And then, January the 4th, 1967, our Washington Star newspaper ran one of my predictions. That a wiretapping scandal was yet to come. That it would involve former Vice President Richard Nixon, but it would not involve J. Edgar Hoover or Senator Robert Kennedy, who were at that particular time involved in a wiretapping break-in. And then again, in 1967, I made the prediction that the wiretapping scandal was yet to come, and that was an international prediction. And then again, October the 21st, 1968, international prediction. And I read you the words. There's a wiretapping scandal, which I have predicted is yet to come. It will involve Richard Nixon. And I remember, we did not, at that particular time, he was not president. I saw a ball going round and round in what seemed to be a roulette wheel. The ball seemed always to stop on a double O. It seemed to indicate a name or names which I could not interpret. And there is a tall, dark-haired man who also appeared to be very much involved. And on the cover of Time magazine, April the 30th, the artist has that picture. A roulette wheel going round and round with a double O. And this tall, dark-haired man is now in Allentown Prison. And I went on to say that this wiretapping scandal would put the president in a position to right a great wrong that would be good for America. And then, Sunday preceding the day of his resignation, a vision came to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, a presence in my room and a voice which told me this. Now remember, this is not a talent. This is a voice of destiny. I still picked up the thoughts of our president that he would not resign, but this is a voice of a higher power. So I called Ian Calder of the National Enquirer, and I said, Ian, there's going to be a great change. The president will be forced to resign before the week is up. And I read him the words that I heard, and these are the words. Now remember, a prediction is picking up the minds and thoughts of men. But this was the vision. The minds of men that viewed the majestic ship that sailed and ruled the calm sea have entered the stormy waters. And the chief will find himself in an embarrassing, compromising position, which there will be no compromise. The stern human judges and human peers will rule against him. He will find himself alone without a ship for more than a year. Like the ship's captain that no longer has a ship, but is ordered below to perform the menial chores as prescribed by others, and one who must bow to authority, ordered to leave the bridge and be confined voluntarily or involuntarily, deserted by friends, with exception of a few faithful ones, then soon to be restored all honors that have been lost by our new president. All captains yet to follow will find the sea more hostile and find it almost impossible to guide the ship of state in still a more turbulent sea. And on into 1976, even up to 1981 and 1983, when our flag will be flying at half-mast over the White House. And now, our day of hope. And that day of hope will surely come, Reverend Moon. Now, I have attended innumerable banquets, testimonial dinners, had the privilege of sharing the speaker's platform with many great men and women, political figures, and distinguished scholars. Tonight, however, is a different occasion. We are here to honor a man of the Spirit, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon. And in reading his biography, I was especially struck by the tremendous suffering which this man endured from the foes of religion in his native country, Korea. Sometimes we forget that there are in the world diabolically evil spiritual forces as well as other evil forces, in the minority, however, which have as their goal the extermination of all belief in God and in man's special nature as a child of God. The Reverend Sun Myung Moon is a living reminder of that somber fact. Through prison and death camp, through torture and savagery, he endured with faith in his Creator and with assurance that God expected great things of him and from him. And as I travel across America to explain my views to audiences, I frequently remind them that God expects great things of them too, whether they are captains of industry or housewives or students or workers. That is a mighty liberating message we find in the gospel, that however humble our position or obscure our fame, our life and our deeds are in God's sight the focal point of human salvation. And that is a stunning reality, is it not? It is no wonder then that we should expect God's message to us to be as stunning as the Apostle Paul discovered when he was on the road to Damascus and he was unhorsed and blinded by its power. Not all of us experience God's love with that same impact, but it is easily within our experience through prayer, certainly. The life of Reverend Sun Myung Moon is an example of this. His long hours of prayer during his captivity in a barbaric labor camp brought him through a horrid ordeal, just as prayer sustained the three children of Israel cast into the fiery furnace, and just as prayer brings even the most lowly believer through the trials of life. I realize with great sadness that to some people, prayer is a difficult formal activity which becomes, alas, too much a ritual and too little an experience. It does not have to be that way truly. God does not will it so. And if we want to triumph when our Calvary comes, we must triumph in the little things of our common hours. And in this technical era, perhaps I should use a space age metaphor and say, prayer should be the button we push with total confidence for instant communication with God, the hotline on our two-way contact with heaven. And I want to say I agree with a beautiful girl who said, there's a little bit of heaven upon this earth. And I want to say to all of you, I think there's an awful lot of heaven upon this earth. We only have to reach out for it. It is in all seriousness our intercom with our Creator, and so why not join in the call for all people to experience the ever-victorious power of prayer. And I want to applaud the Reverend Sun Myung Moon's emphasis upon our need to rely on the Lord, our God who made us. And as you know, the word gospel originally meant good news. And this good news of which Reverend Moon reminds us is that when we pray, we push that intercom button and God is listening at the other end. And why is he listening? We all remember the old childhood hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. That may seem too simplistic, too unsophisticated for some people, but learned theologians and saints have spent their entire lives elaborating upon that one idea. And surprisingly, and their innocence, little children understand it. And this I know too. Love, of course, must be the basis of all unity. Our unity with the Creator and our unity with one another. This is a message which the man whom we honor tonight, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, has emphasized. The unity of all men in brotherhood has been his primary concern, and I heartily applaud his passion for peace and understanding among all men. And I want to say, since this is an international meeting tonight, internationally, in the beautiful Waldorf Astoria, I want to speak another language, just three words, that ilibidi in English means I love you. And we do not live in easy times. But when has mankind lived in easy times? But we were not promised that it would be easy, were we? Just look around at the world wars of the first half of this century. The plagues, the famines, the massacres and disasters which have marked every century of recorded history on every continent. No, it is not the threat of nuclear war which has made things difficult for the young, growing up in the shadow of the atomic bomb. For young people of all centuries have matured under equally deadly, if less extensive, threats. Every generation of humanity has had to relearn the same old lessons which the Reverend Moon has repeated, that despite our technological advances, we are still dependent on God's will that the world can be made a better place only through our efforts and our willingness to accept one another in the love of the Lord. Only in imitation of the Lord can suffering be transferred into greatness, even if no one knows we suffer except ourselves and our God. And I know one time I was asked, when is the last time you cried, Jean? I cry many times for people when I see them destroying their talent, their divinely granted talent, and people are so great, but they underestimate themselves. And our acceptance of these sufferings is a crucible of holiness. Spirituality is reality, and reality is spirituality, and let us never forget that. Now more than ever, these invaluable lessons for us to learn. And so I am pleased to honor tonight a man who devotes his life to preaching these principles, Reverend Sun Moon. And with the dawn of each new day, there is not one among us who does not stand on the threshold of life renewed and for one shining moment hesitate, however briefly, to feel the hand of God upon them, to know that we shall not take the first step nor the last step alone, and to know that our Lord is there with us morning, noon, and night. And for one shining moment, at the dawn of each new day, atheist and believer are as one, for the hand of the Lord knows no favoritism. It rests upon the shoulder of all men. This revelation, if there be no other in the course of all human experiences, is a truth of religion for all people, the basic, the believable, the beautiful, the bountiful reason for being.